Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Mobile hunters, are you looking to make the move to saddle hunting this year? Or maybe you just want to add a few new pieces of gear or upgrade your current saddle gear. If that's the case, then head over to tetherednation.com where they've got all mobile hunters covered. Whether you're new to saddle hunting or an old timer, Tethered is your one-stop saddle shop. From saddles to ropes, sticks, ascenders, whatever it is you need, they have you covered. I've personally been using their gear for the past three seasons. Now my base setup consists of the Phantom saddle and the Predator platform. And if you're wondering why I've chosen to use their gear above all else, here's the cliff notes. They're innovative and pushing the mobile hunting forward overall. They cut no corners and prioritize the safety and performance of their gear. They care about the community that they've created, and their gear allows me to hunt free. And above all else, I like to support good people doing good work. If you're interested in upping your mobile hunting game, then head to tetherednation.com. This podcast is brought to you by Skull Brew Coffee Company. For those of you that don't know, Skull Brew Coffee Company is a business that my wife and I started to give back more to conservation. We donate a portion of our profits back to conservation organizations and are 2% for conservation certified. Since Earth Day is coming up soon, we thought we'd go ahead and kick off the celebration with a store-wide 10% discount. This includes all of our single origin coffee, single pack pour overs for hunting, camping, and travel, and all of our merch. Visit skullbrewcoffee.com and use the promo code TRUTH at checkout and get your savings, and let's support conservation together, one cup at a time. Welcome to the Truth from the Stand Deer Hunting Podcast, brought to you by Skull Brew Coffee Company. I'm your host, Clint Campbell, and you're listening to episode number 226. Today, I'm out on a scouting trip to a new piece of public with my buddy Aaron Hepler, and we're coming to you on location in a DIY travel trailer. So stay tuned. What is up, everyone? Happy Wednesday to you. Hope you are doing well. Hope you are feeling fine on what I think is this the 21st day of April that you guys are listening to this. I think we got the Earth Day celebration, which is right around the corner. April's kind of turned into Earth Month, which is April's kind of a cool month where, you know, the weather starts to change a little bit. You get to be able to be outside. You get some abnormally warm days. I don't know about you guys, but I do enjoy, as much as I enjoy fall, I equally kind of enjoy spring because I dig that kind of cool temperatures before you get to summer. But it seems like we're getting less and less of the spring and just more of like, hey, it's winter, and now bam, it's 70 degrees, which we had a little bit of that a couple weeks ago. But the weather seems to be kind of acting normal, 2 degree. The green is popping. Was out scouting a little bit this past weekend. The podcast forthcoming with my buddy Greg Litzinger. He and I were out doing some scouting together and got together and did a podcast. But not going to belabor this up front here. We're going to just kind of jump into the session today. And what we have really going on is, you know, I've talked at length at 2 degree about going north and trying to find some bigger timber to scout. And I, you know, did one mission where I went north to the
into the Poconos in that general area and did some scouting and had, you know, what I would kind of call limited success. And so I was planning to make a second trip. And my buddy Aaron Hepler, who you guys have heard on the show in the past, we don't live too far from one another, which was cool that we got to connect. We met through a mutual friend of ours, Tony Peterson, is kind of how we were connected. And he's always down to kind of explore and scout some new areas. And he had interest in some of those places just in general as well. And so, you know, I always say whenever you go to scout, if you can scout with a buddy, not only does it make it, you know, a little bit more enjoyable to have someone to kind of break up some of the monotony, especially when you're not finding stuff. But also it's good just to kind of be able to bounce ideas off of each other, especially when you're in a new area. It was new to both of us. So we were kind of able to look at things and, you know, think about it. And I would give my perspective. He would give his perspective and we'd kind of make a plan and kind of, you know, go about the day that way, which made it really enjoyable. And so we took the travel trailer and headed up north again and camped out over a weekend and did some scouting and found some, you know, what I would say is more success than we had the last time. And that's really what Aaron and I do in this session is we break down the scouting trip and what we found and what we kind of think is happening. So we will jump into that in 1 second. Before I jump into the podcast, just a quick reminder that if you dig coffee and you want to try Skull Brew Coffee, or if you've tried it in the past and want to get some more at a discount, you can do that right now with the promo code Truth. You can head over to skullbrewcoffee.com, use the promo code Truth at checkout, and you will get yourself some savings on some killer coffee. That's on all the roasts that we have, the light, medium, and dark roast that we have. It's also on the Backcountry single pour over packs that we have that you can use to hunt, camp, scout, travel to in-laws that have shitty coffee, whatever the case is. And then we have some merch there as well. So be sure to head to skullbrewcoffee.com and check that out. So with that, we'll jump into today's podcast. And as always, thank you all for listening. All right, folks, welcome back to another episode of the Truth from the Stand Deer Hunting Podcast. We are coming to you, not really live because it's obviously pre-recorded, but we are live in the camper out on some public land in PA. It's a little bit of a jaunt from the home. So spending a weekend out here, you guys have heard me talking about hunting the northern part of PA. And so that's what I'm out doing this weekend. But I've got a buddy with me. I've got a camp buddy to share the rustic charm.
The rustic charm of the
Purple Camper. Yeah, that voice, the dulcet tones you hear on the other mic is none other than Aaron Hepper. What's going on, man?
Not much, buddy. Ready to do it.
Nice. Well, hey, thanks for coming out and just being part of the party, dude. You know, it always makes it nice whenever you got a, you know, I don't mind scouting on my own, you know, and I'm happy to do it. And I do plenty of it, just like I know you do too. But, yep, you know, I get a chance to go out with Chad once in a while when we scout some places we're going to hunt together and stuff like that. Once in a while with my buddy Wilson, but usually we don't get to scout too often, but it just makes it nicer, like to be able to,
absolutely,
you know, to bounce ideas off of people and stuff like that. So you're not just kind of stuck in your own head, you know? So
yeah, we had some good ideas today.
Yeah. Hopefully some of them end up in deer getting killed at some point, but
that'd be a good thing.
That would be a good thing, man. But no, I do appreciate you coming out here, man, because it always makes it the day go better, right? Because you kind of hit that part of the day after you've just been walking, especially if you're not seeing stuff
for sure,
you know, where you're just like, all right, yeah, I'm ready to go back to camp.
Yep.
You know, when you got a buddy, you're like, I can't be the one to wuss out unless you got a bum knee like me.
And well, you know,
and then so.
I won't call you out for it. It's all good.
It's all good. Yeah. Thanks. I appreciate that. You know, but no, we had a good session today. You guys heard me kind of talk about being in the north, northern PA, scouting a couple weeks ago. I came back to a similar area, had looked on the map. And it was funny because when you and I were talking about coming up here, we were debating where we were going to go.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had this one spot marked because we went and kind of tried to find like topo and cuts and stuff like that. We wanted to focus on that. And man, being here, we were talking about this earlier. It's just, there's so much land here.
Yeah. It's huge.
Yeah. To cover where if you try to look at it holistically and like think you're going to jump from place to place to place.
Well, we spent 45 minutes just driving to a new place down the road today.
Yeah, and it wasn't even that. I mean, when you look on the map, you're like, oh, that's just around the corner.
Yeah.
You know, but no, it's a 45-minute drive.
Dirt roads.
Yeah. And so, you know, really, and we talked about this a little bit today where I was like thinking about it when we were getting ready to come here, kind of took a page out of Johnny Stewart's book
you know, because I know one of the things that he talked about, you know, and I've only ever done one podcast with him, but I've had the chance to chat with him otherwise. I know he focuses on like a specific area because he literally said, if I don't, I'll drive myself crazy trying to think like, oh, there could be a big deer here. There could be a big deer here. And so I was thinking of that conversation when we started thinking about when we were going to come back here and scout. And so we picked a chunk that was about 1800 acres, you know, that had a lot of good stuff that we thought would be good. And we were both just like, let's focus on this. And then if we get done, we'll jump to another spot that I wanted to hang a camera that I checked out the last time. And I feel like it paid dividends today. I feel like we got, I think we made progress. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we found some good stuff, especially compared to when you were talking about the last time you were out here and having a really hard time in the beginning.
Yeah.
Definitely found some positive.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, for anyone out there listening that didn't hear, you know, kind of what I got into in the last kind of round here, it's big and vast. And, you know, you get into some areas where there's just not a lot of topography change that are going to move and funnel deer or move deer or whatever. And so, you know, a lot of the stuff you would rely on in other places, which is like, you know, some of the conversations I've had with like Todd Mead or Hal Blood or whatever, like a lot of that stuff was ringing true as I kind of thought back on the previous scout. And it's just, you get into these areas where you just don't think deer could possibly live.
Yeah.
You know, but today we doubled down on some, some different areas that we thought would be that we thought could be productive. And I think what we're going to do during this session, we're just going to kind of go through each chunk that we went to and kind of talk about, you know, what we found, what we had seen, some of the things that were perplexing us as we're sitting here, you know, thinking about it. And as we kind of talked about it, as we were scouting, things that maybe made sense, maybe didn't make sense. And just kind of bring you guys along for the ride. So, you know, let's jump into like the first cut. So that on that point, when we first kind of got to the top.
I mean, the first cut was pretty awesome. It was basically, as soon as we got off the road, we were into it.
Mm-hmm.
And those kinds of things, as soon as you find cool cover like that, gives you a good feeling about the place you're on. And pretty much as soon as we got over the top of it, we found beds right away.
Yeah.
There were no rubs in them or anything. Weren't really sure.
But we found one like right there before we left it. We found one, and it wasn't like it was a hammer, but it was like, you know, proof of life, shall we say.
And well, I mean, you found the first one, and then I found that other one. We're like, oh, this big bed, a lot of hair in it. Yep. You know, it's big, would be in a place that makes sense because it's tucked in the thick a little bit with a little open in front of it. You know, open up into the hardwoods. But overall, definitely a sign of life. Lots of other sign in there, but really no buck sign in that cut.
Yeah, in that cut, and it was kind of, which wasn't, it was a little surprising, but not entirely surprising. That's kind of like a stupid way to make that statement, right? Because I'm like, it was, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
But I think what we mean by that was we weren't far off the road.
Yeah, it was in between two.
It was tucked in between two roads. So it wasn't, you know, I don't think there's a ton of pressure in this general area. We didn't see a lick of human sign.
Nope.
Like to speak of in the woods.
Until we got close to that private land.
Yeah. And that stand that was there, you and I both agreed, like, looked pretty new, probably that private landowner, because we were
easy access from there.
Exactly.
It was the biggest point he had available to him from that.
It would be the terrain feature if I were gun hunting and I were him.
Yeah.
You know, it was definitely a gun stand.
Yeah. I mean, you could see that whole flat that was his property, basically his whole property.
Exactly. Yeah. So that first cut, you know, what I mean by it was surprising, but not, it's like, it wasn't surprising because, well, you know, it was close to roads, right? Tons of scat, tons of just like traffic sign.
Yep.
You know, and there were just a pile of beds that made you think it was doe bedding, right?
Yep.
And at first, when we first found that first set of beds, we thought it might have been buck bedding just because it was kind of tucked on like the lip.
Yep.
You know, like if you did the classic 1/3, it wasn't like this ridge was super steep, but if it was just over the military crest where you would expect a buck bed to be. Yeah. But as we started kind of looking around, we were finding more and more beds, and we kind of realized, all right, this is like doe bedding kind of central.
Yeah, it was a lot of beds.
Oh, it was just like
every 10 steps.
It was ridiculous. But we were surprised that we didn't find rubs in there, at least like an area that was just kind of tore up. And there were a few little pockets in there. And this was kind of the theme of the day, where there were a few pockets where you would walk up on it
and you would find doe bedding, you know, and you would see the scat, the sign, the doe beds, like, you know, a bunch of them. And you would be like, look, it's just a matter of time until you run up on like an area that's just tore up with rubs,
yep,
or an area that's just tore up with scrapes. And I mean, all you guys out there listening know, like, you see them, like when you walk and you're like, you see like that lone cedar tree somewhere, right? Yeah. That's like sticking out like a sore thumb.
It's going to have a rub on it.
Going to have a rub on it. Or you see like these, you know, gnarly kind of, you know, multi-trunk kind of trees or whatever. You know, you look at it and you're like, oh, great place for a rub and great place for, like with a bunch of licking branches. Like there should, yep, be scrapes, right? And this spot just didn't have them, you, yep, know? And it was, that was the part that was surprising. The, you know, the part that wasn't surprising was like, we found all those doe beds. Like, okay, this a bucks aren't living here necessarily.
Right.
But totally was expecting to find rut sign in there. And it was just nothing. It was a beautiful kind of setup. Cause as you come off of that point, off that cut into the hardwoods, it just opens up into like a big oak flat.
Yeah.
Essentially. And so you would expect.
Very open oak flat.
Yeah. Yeah. And we could see how they were kind of getting in and out. Like there were, yeah, you know, there were trails throughout it, but like there was a clear definitive one that, yeah, kind of, that came from the oaks directly through the center of that, yeah, cut.
Straight up to the next one.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, overall, you know, I feel like that place would be, I think it would be decent to hunt if you got on that. I think we both kind of talked about if you got on that back edge where the hardwood met the cut,
yep,
you know, deer are moving in and out of there. Would maybe even get into like the center of it where there was like, I think there was that one tree you could possibly get into because it's clear that they're kind of making their way to the center of that and there's just tons of bedding around it. Might even, right, be a possibility. But there's a couple of decent setups there, but I think we both kind of left it going, I feel like there's probably something better.
Yeah.
You know, because it was just,
agreed,
lots of traffic. May not see a buck, maybe get dark deered on a buck, but there wasn't any buck signs saying that they're spending enough time there,
right,
to get super excited. Would you agree with that? Or
yeah, totally. I mean, maybe you get lucky on a mid-November or something running, right, through there, but that's probably what it's going to be doing. It's not going to be looking in there. It's going to be chasing through there.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's going to have a purpose for, yeah, going there. It's not going to just happen to pass by on a whim.
Yeah. You know? And that one was probably like a little less as far as trees go. If you were going to hunt inside the cut, I think that one probably had less seed trees in it.
Yeah.
Like there were no, like, you know, a lot of clear cuts have those classic like island of trees right in the middle
to
of
replenish.
It. Or, yeah. 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 These were kind of spread out and,
yeah,
not like a whole lot to choose from in that one.
No, that's why whenever we walked, well, when I walked down through the middle of that and was kind of following that one trail and there was like one lone tree there and I was, yeah, like, this, cause it was kind of in the center of the, yeah, cut, you know,
right.
I was like, if you were going to hunt the cut itself,
yeah,
that would be probably the tree that I would get into, but, yeah, you're, you know, you would never, I don't want to say never, but I wouldn't probably try to hunt it with a stand only cause you're going to be hung out to dry. Cause
yeah, I mean,
you don't have a lot
of, no cover, yeah, in there.
With a saddle, maybe you get away with it by being able to hide behind a tree.
Yeah.
Cause they're only going to come from one direction there just because of where you are at toward the point and where the road is at.
Yeah.
Like they're really only going to come from like the, we'll call it the north side, you,
yeah,
know? And so as long as you're on the south side of the tree,
yep,
like you should be okay.
Yep.
You know, not going to get away with a lot of movement, but
yeah, yeah,
you know, it'd be worth a flyer. But so that was kind of cut number one, which, you know, was, I think when we left that, we were like, okay.
Yeah. We were encouraged. Cause I mean, it's really good cover and there's a lot of good food and there was, you know, like I said, we found beds. We're like, oh, we get to the next one. Maybe we'll find the.
Yeah. And I was way more encouraged versus what I had seen the previous scout that I did.
Right.
I was like, okay.
Yeah. You immediately said, as soon as we walked into it, oh, this is way better than last time already.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We didn't even get in it. It was like, yeah, we were walking the access, the old logging road up or whatever. And it was just like, I could tell immediately. I was like, yep, this is real deer habitat.
Yeah.
Like this is where you could actually see deer living.
Right.
You know? So, all right. So we'll move on to cut number two and that'll kind of be the theme, guys, is like, you know, we kind of cut jumped today for the most part.
Yep.
You know, like I said, you know, this place is big and when you get in between these cuts, you're going to like, you run into one or two things in this area. At least what I've experienced so far and also what we've seen, cause we did some driving today. Like, yep, once we kind of got some stuff done, we wanted to get done. We drove to some newer other areas. We wanted to kind of quickly check out and scope to see if it was even worth jumping in.
Yep.
And so we got to see a fair amount just by driving. And, you know, you'll get these pockets of cuts and yep. dense foliage, and then you'll get maybe some like oak, you know, like oak forest that butts yeah. up against it, but it's pretty open.
Unbroken and open.
Yeah. And then you get like a conifer, evergreen, yep. pine tree, some sort of
all those that. Bottoms, like all the creek bottoms were all
yeah.
non-brush, nothing, no underbrush, all conifer like that.
Yeah. And so the hard part was that, you know, the in between, mm-hmm. right? Because there was no like, there were really hard lines, and you expect, you know, in the classic sense, like where there's those hard transition lines, you would expect like that would be where the traffic was.
Yeah.
But we just weren't really seeing that yep. necessarily. And, you know, and we'll get to the second cut, and then we'll start talking about deer density, spread out, stuff yep. like that, because there were a few theories we were kind of batting around. But so the second cut was basically, you know, just north. We'll just call it north because I don't remember exactly what direction it is. But
yeah, that one's north. Yeah.
Is it north?
Mm-hmm.
You go straight north across this oak flat, essentially, yep. or, you know, oak forest, and you hit essentially some elevation you got to get up yep. over. And it's not a super steep climb, but it's a little bit of a climb. And you kind of yeah. get up on top there, and that whole thing is clear cut. And that was a really good cut. Like that was, yeah, that was sizable.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, that one was probably double the size of the first one.
Yeah. Easy. Mm-hmm. And there was a saddle at the very end yep. and then another cut across that saddle.
Yeah, the saddle was between the cuts. Yeah.
Yeah. Which we didn't get to that second one because we found some other stuff that we ended off yep. on a voyage. And that cut across the saddle looked exactly like the one that we were in, you know?
Yeah. So this second cut was, I think what was cool is as soon as we decided which side to start on, you know, we hit that edge of, there was that laurel that was underneath of it that you kind of ended up following contour lines below mm-hmm. that laurel.
Yeah.
But, you know, and we'll talk more about that, but I think we both ended up going just along the edge of it and both found good hard trails, like a ring trail around a classic ring trail around yep. a clear cut. And you found the one below the laurel.
Yep.
But again, the second cut was by far the best thing that we found, probably as far as like food and where maybe more density was.
Yeah. It was bigger. But you could clearly see in areas where there was clear like trail systems that yeah. they were using within there. Again, similar to the first cut, tons of scat.
Yep.
You know, deer sign everywhere, or, you know, you could tell deer are living there.
Yep.
You know, lots of beds.
Yep.
Again, you know,
every 10 steps.
Yeah. It was like a doe bed here, a doe bed there. So, I mean, they're literally living in there, you know, and for good reason, because I mean, you can get lost in a second. I mean, you're completely covered up in that stuff. And there's plenty of browse and food in there.
I guess we should mention that we started noticing, oh, this is, they burned it too.
Oh yeah. I totally forgot about that. Cause we could tell that it was burnt, but we were trying to figure out how recent it was.
Yeah. Well, by the time we got in there and there's bare dirt, I mean, there's still like growth from this past year. So it's probably, you know, we'll have to look at the map and see if we can find a burn there, but,
right.
It was definitely burned within 2 years. I mean, our pants were black after coming out of that.
Oh yeah. Filthy.
Yeah.
You know? And so that was kind of interesting because it made me pause, at least me. I'm curious what your thoughts are on this, but I kind of paused for a minute. It was like, this looks real good right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably going to be slamming this fall.
Yeah.
You know, because the thing was
all that new growth.
Yeah. Just a ton of green. It'll be a ton of green growth in there. Cause right mm-hmm. now it's a lot of like red briar and,
yeah.
and stuff like that. Didn't see a whole lot of green briar necessarily.
No,
in there.
It was mostly red mixed with all that fern and stuff.
Yeah. And we know that they'll eat those ferns.
Yeah.
Right. Like, so there's just going to be a gang of food
yeah.
in that general area. Which is great. Can also make it a challenge to hunt because yeah. trying to get into the middle of something like that, like, again, like you're going to probably have to hunt most of that stuff on the edges,
yeah.
you know, cause it's just
crispy.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, it's crispy.
You're not going to get in there without making a pile of noise.
Yeah.
You know, maybe if you went in and maybe, you know, bushwhacked your way through like a little sliver of it to get into like an open spot or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, there was that like small old logging road that kind of went through the middle of it
mm-hmm.
that we ended up, we'll probably talk about at the end, but ended up backtracking through
yeah
through the middle of that.
Yeah.
Maybe you could get on that, but I don't think that came out to the end or
it didn't. Like, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, you, like, there's no ease of access to get into the middle of that to try to hunt right. it. Like, you would have to create your access
right.
to get in there. And except you could maybe, if you came up kind of where the ring, so the ring that kind of goes around the cut and mm-hmm. then the one that kind of goes down a little further on the contour line.
Mm-hmm.
If you came up perpendicular to those, you could probably find a spot to pop in
yeah.
and get in off the edge where that meets the heart, where it meets the laurel.
Right. Cause it was almost just like a little triangle of laurel. You could probably get in where everything meets right there.
Yeah. And you could probably push in just a little bit there, but like, there's not really a way for you to get into the center of it and right. hunt it. Like, that's pretty much an
Yeah. That's going to not happen.
Yeah. Unless you went in and camped, just stayed in your tree all night and waited for the next morning. Yeah. You know, it's like, and did that. But then, you know, so we were scoping that out. It looked killer. We were both pretty stoked on it. And then old Eagle Eye over here stumbles across a shed.
I did. You know, nothing huge, but.
Oh, it was a monster.
It's a monster. That monster. Monster six pointer.
Yeah.
Greg would be excited. Greg Litzinger would be excited.
He loves big sixes. Well, it wasn't big, but it was a six. So it's like, maybe he'd be kind of excited about it. You know, it's
the biggest one we found.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah.
Put it in perspective.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Eagle Eye Aaron found a shed. His spidey senses went off and was literally like, I think there could be a shed in here. And
yeah, I totally did. Cause I had just said, oh, there's a bed. And I kind of did one of those like, looked around, saw the shed, and I called it out, took some pictures. And as soon as you walked up, oh.
I'm like, shed. There's another one.
Yeah, that was right buried. In that like stump hole or something.
Yeah, I mean, it was, and the funny thing was, I mean, it wasn't from this year. It was an old shed. The one you found was probably from this year.
Probably,
right?
Yeah. It was bleached pretty good, but it looked like it.
But there's no overhanging trees or anything there, you know, so.
And it's not like got that worn feeling to it, you know. It's got the sheen on it yet or whatever.
Right. It's got that good still on it. That good shed feel. So I found this shed that was, that thing was at least 2 years old.
Probably.
You know? But it looked like it was the left, because you found the left side of that buck and I found the left side. So it almost looked like that same buck dropped his antlers in the same spot 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
Because it was the same frame.
So there's
just a little bigger. The one you found was a little bigger.
Yeah. So there's like a 4 year old,
85 inch.
80 maybe.
Like this is 70 inch six point running around in there somewhere.
Yeah.
You know? So, but that, I mean, when we found those sheds, that was really kind of, you know,
that was the confirmed first buck sign that we found.
Yeah.
For like, oh, there was a buck in this area once.
And it was interesting. I mean, well, first I got excited, right? Because I was like, all right, cool. Finally. Like, okay, found antlers. That's a good day just in general, like when that happens. But the fact that we're finding them in areas where we're finding like that we're in what we presume to be really good habitat.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, cool. This should get better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, even if we find any more antlers, like, feel like we're in the right spot. I definitely felt like I was in much more the right spot than I was a couple of weeks ago.
The previous time, yeah.
Yeah. So, we keep kind of trucking on and, you know, found some pretty defined trails and stuff like that. But again, similar to the first cut, we were, like, not finding scrapes.
Yep.
We would find some historical rubs and maybe some small rubs here and there. But there just wasn't anything that was jumping out, like as much as like doe sign as we were seeing. And again, it could be slamming last week of October, first week of November, whatever.
Which is, I'm sure, when that probably heats up.
Yeah. But you would still think that there's some type of sign laid down somewhere.
Yeah. All those little saplings in there should be shredded.
Yeah. Exactly. And just nothing. Like just some real small stuff here and there, like once in a great while, and nothing.
No scrapes on the logging road.
Yeah. I mean, we walked some logging roads just like knowing that those are probably made at night.
Yeah.
You know, and so it wasn't like we were thinking, oh, we'll find scrapes on a logging road. It'll be just a great place to set up. Just trying to
understand the sign.
Yeah. Just trying to figure out like, where are they laying it down?
Yeah.
You know, and then from there, can we backtrack where they might come from?
Yeah.
Like start looking at terrain. Where's the habitat? Like that's like, okay, let's track this way to see if they're using this or whatever the case is. Like there was none of that.
Yeah.
And
it was starting to get a little perplexing at that point because, you know, two cuts, like anywhere else I would hunt, if I walk through cuts like that,
oh, there's sign everywhere.
I would find some sign.
Mm-hmm.
I might not find hammer sign.
Yeah.
Right. But I would find something that says like, hey, this might be worth throwing a hunt at.
Yeah.
I think that would be worth throwing a hunt at just based off the premise that there's so much just doe activity in that general area.
And there's no, you know, with the connecting cuts like that and so much, out of those, between those two cuts, there were probably 30 beds.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
I mean, we were finding them all over the place.
Yeah. So, like, I don't think deer density is the problem. Like, no, I don't think there's a deer density here.
Cut areas.
And we saw deer later when we were driving around.
Yeah.
So it's not like.
Well, and I saw some this morning on the way in.
Yeah.
Too.
So it's not like some of the big woods places I've hunted in the past that literally have low deer density. I don't think that's the case. Like Pennsylvania, by and large, doesn't have a deer density problem. I think in a lot of cases, we probably have more deer than we. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't think that that's the issue here. And what we started kind of talking about a little bit is just, you know, one of the things, you know, and Chad and I have talked about this with some of the places that we hunt is just like the lack of structure.
Yeah.
Right. And that areas that are really vast and there's not a lot of structure and they just kind of move nomadically. Mm-hmm. And there's not a theme necessarily. Right. And maybe does are more themed, you know,
like, yeah.
Maybe they are living in these cuts and they don't really move from them potentially. Right. Cause they got the food until the cut grows out and it's not worth being there anymore,
right,
or whatever. Like, sure. You know, but it feels like they're spending a ridiculous amount of time in there.
Yeah.
And we still couldn't quite pinpoint, like, bucks have to show up at some point because there's does there.
Right.
We can't pinpoint where.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make any sense if they are here that they're not laying down any sign ever or anything significant. Right.
Yeah. Especially like not even around the edges of it. I mean, they just,
yeah,
just weren't in those cuts.
And that's why I was walking around the edges because I was like, you know what? If nothing else, let me just walk the edge and see if I just find something. And
right,
then we can maybe directionally get a bearing on like what direction we might want to head. We
right,
find a rub line, even if it's not a big rub line, a rub line, you know, yeah, or something. And it just wasn't happening. So, you know, at that point, we were still feeling good because we were like, there's a lot of deer sign in general. We found some sheds.
Yep.
Like, we know there's deer here. So let's just move on to the next episode, so to, yep, speak. And so we skipped heading over to the cut that was across the draw. And the reason being was that it laid out, when you looked on the map, it laid out very similarly to what we had just walked through.
Same as the first.
About the same size, about the same everything. I mean, would it be worth going and walking through? Yes. I think at some point I would like to make a walk through it.
Yeah.
But I knew I could already, in my head, I knew what it looked like.
Yeah, it's just more of the same.
Yeah. And so there were a couple other places we wanted to get to in this general area that were a bit of a hike.
Yeah.
You know, and one was a cut, one was like a nice kind of, you know, oak forest. We wanted to see what it looked like,
yep,
and stuff like that. And so we decided to kind of, you know, go, you know, through that saddle, which was an old logging road that was through that, and kind of head down to like these other cuts that were kind of below the ridge that we were just on that had, yeah, the cut, right?
Yeah.
And so it was almost like a stepped cut kind of thing.
Yeah, it was in a secondary ridge system, I would say, down,
yeah,
when we got down there too.
Yeah. And so we started walking, you know, first we got into that cut a little bit and didn't find a whole lot of sign along the edge of it. And we kind of came up out of, you know.
We dropped down to that logging road on that.
Yeah, dropped down to that, yeah, logging road and kind of walked that out. And then we got to the place where we kind of needed to make a decision where we were either going to like dive in further and start, not backtracking, but going, you know, I don't even know what direction that would be. Like, we'll just call it east.
Yeah.
You know, back toward that private corner.
Yeah.
Right. Because it looked like there was some water down there. And if you, yeah, got down to the
mucky areas.
Yeah. And so we thought maybe if we get to some flat land, maybe we can find some swamps.
Yeah. Or maybe whatever. Some bottom sign.
Yeah. And knowing that, look, a lot of that's probably made at night or, yep, or it holds there because it's wet, but at least, you know, it, again,
well, we did think we'd be able to backtrack from it if we could find it down there.
Exactly. It's trying to get some directional information to, yeah, kind of point us in a direction. And so, but what we decided to do first is like, we were looking and we could kind of see like, hey, this gets thicker up here.
Yeah.
Let's go check that out. And so we started walking up and I'm just looking over the edge. Like, we're walking on a logging road. I'm just looking over the edge as we're looking to get into the thicker stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm just looking over the edge, checking out whatever's below me. And 20 yards off the road, I'm like, hey, there's a, is that a scrape?
Yep.
And it wasn't like a huge scrape, but it just like, it was a different color of dirt.
Yeah.
You know? So we walked down to it. It's like, sure enough, scrape. Yep. It's like, hey.
First sign of life.
Yeah. It's like, there's another one.
Yeah. Three all in a row.
Yeah. Three right there, licking branches in the oddest place.
Yeah.
You know, like when I looked around and I'm like, and I looked at the map and I'm like, why would they put a, why would there be a scrape? Why would not just one?
Yeah. But three.
But three, right?
And they looked like they were pretty good too.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, you know, I guess we'll bring this up now and we'll get back to the scrapes here in a second. But, you know, what we kind of noticed, you know, at the end of the day, and even as like, I think at this point is when we really kind of started kind of like, all right, we may need to recalibrate what our expectation is for like sign in this area.
Right.
And we were kind of alluding to it earlier when we said doe density or deer density that
right.
There's not a density problem.
Right. Not a density problem.
Right.
It's a how much room they got problem.
It's a concentration problem. Yeah. Right. It's like they have so many places to go and so many different ways to get there because there's not a lot of structure pushing them in any one direction that it just felt like the sign was that we did find was super spread out and not super, I don't want to say impressive, but like, you know, it's not something where we didn't walk into like a primary scrape area where there's like 10 scrapes, trees torn apart.
I'm hanging a tree stand there.
Yeah, exactly. Like you just didn't see that. And so those three scrapes in a row might've been the best you were going to get.
Yeah.
You know? And that at that moment, I think is when we started thinking like, all right, you know, we may not find that like rub that's like the trees destroyed. Looks like it was hit with a cheese grater,
right?
You know, and a pile of shavings below on the ground. Like,
right.
You know, we might just be finding things that are roughed up or whatever, you know, and, multiple deer probably didn't hit it.
Yeah.
It was probably made by a single deer. Like most of the rubs we saw today, I would venture a guess that a lot of them were probably made by a single deer.
They had to have been.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, they were all in the same general vicinity, same.
It was pockets.
I mean, it would make sense of where that deer was traveling to connect all those together.
Yeah. Yeah. So we ended up walking, once we found those scripts, we're like, all right, cool. Let's check some more of this area out. Right. Cause it's like, at least we found some scrapes. And so we ended up looking at the map and it was like, there was that secondary ridge system. There was a cut, right? And then it kind of went into this bench. And then there was like another bench kind of below it.
Yeah.
And that was one thing that I learned, you know, hunting with Chad a lot, you know, or hunting big woods with him in general, is that, you know, does are going to use the tops and you'll catch some cruising bucks. And unfortunately, a lot of those cuts were on the tops.
Yep.
Right. Which made sense. Not a lot of buck sign, a lot of doe sign.
Yep.
Right. So these benches kind of stood out to me because there was like cuts around them. And then there were like these two bench systems that kind of ran parallel together. Now they would have been a lot better if they connected into like another ridge.
We thought they were going to where they were going to connect at the end of the ridge there.
Yeah, exactly. So we walked that out. We ended up finding another scrape.
I want to say we did find a scrape there and a nice size bed.
Yeah.
Cause that was where you thought you said you saw a deer as soon as we got out of the bench.
Yeah. I saw a flash of brown take off and I mean, I thought it was a deer, could have not been, but then we eventually ended up after we got through that bench, you know, I'll just kind of jump forward and then we'll get back to the benches. But when we backtracked to get back over toward that private line to get back in those oaks, and what we ended up coming across was like actually where that deer blew out from, because we could see it was wet there and we could see
running hoof tracks all
exactly
recently tore up.
Yeah.
And that trail was pretty defined because that was like timber between those two, that little small cut that was at the end of that point, and then that older cut that we had walked through when we got down to that bench.
Yeah.
And that was probably the most defined trail that we found. It could have been because it was muddy, I guess, but
right.
I mean, it seemed like it made sense. And then we did finally find some rubs in there. That was
actually where the rubs started picking up.
Right, where the biggest concentration of rubs were.
Yeah.
But they were all the same height, decent height.
Yeah.
Same height, same
size trees.
Tree. Yeah.
Yeah. and it was hit the same way. Like there wasn't like, it wasn't like one wasn't like cheese grater, you know, like right. shredded. It were all like relatively smooth,
yeah.
you know, which doesn't mean anything, but it was just like, you could tell it was likely made by the same deer,
yep.
you know? And you didn't really see many rubs. Like we didn't find any signpost rubs. We found there was one that looked like it had been hit year over year over year. I forget exactly where that one was at, but it wasn't like it was a huge signpost rub. It just looked right. like an old historical rub that had been used year over, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe it was the version of a signpost around here.
Maybe.
I don't know, but it wasn't, it didn't catch my attention enough, I guess. And maybe that's shame on me, possibly.
Maybe. I mean, it was the best rubs that we found, but
yeah.
I mean, maybe we just didn't hit the right pocket there.
Yeah. So we essentially kind of walked that bench, you know, found that bed, found another scrape, and that would be a place out of all the spots that we found so far that to that point in the day where I'd be like, I would throw some hunts at. And truthfully, yeah. I probably should have thrown a camera in there. But
Maybe tomorrow.
Also the reality is that there's not like a, I guess there was a trail that was going through there that you might just get some movement back and forth because it's, you know, it wasn't, I don't mind putting cameras on scrapes, even outside of like the rut and stuff like that. Cause I have a camera on a scrape right now that was hit last week.
Yeah.
You know, like it's clearly the communication hub.
Right.
And I will leave cameras up all year mm-hmm. on places like that, you know, not because I'm going to gain a lot of intel in like April and May about what the deer I'm going to hunt are doing.
Yeah.
I just like to know that it continues to be the central like nervous system of the communication right. center for the deer in those woods.
Right.
You know?
Well, and you know, when we got down out of that cut, we followed those rubs along and got out of the cut. It kind of had that little fold of like whatever those little, seepage ditches or whatever you mm-hmm. want to call them. And you know, there really wasn't anything that crossed it. I mean, there was one trail that we found going across it, mm-hmm. but it didn't look like run really hard. I mean, it definitely, something went over it at some point in time.
Yeah, and that bed was the best bed that we found. And that was clearly a buck bed.
Yeah, clearly. It was big, dirt down to the dirt, hair in it, big poop in it, you know.
Yeah, and you could see, you know, the way the wind would work there, it's like the wind would be blowing essentially from the way he was laying, would be blowing essentially from his back from the cut to him.
Yep.
Right. And then he's looking down all through the open hardwood there. That was like a mix of like hardwood and like some evergreen, like some conifer trees or whatever, just yeah. really open where he could see a long ways. Even whenever there's foliage on the trees, he'll still have a good visual.
Right. And his, you know, his backdrop was the clear cut.
Yeah.
So anything coming from below, he'd be right back in that. Anything, I mean, nothing's yep. going to get through that clear cut without, no, I mean, it was two like rocks in there and
yeah, and it's just gnarly thing. It's like yeah. one of those type that sure deer are in it, but you look at it and you're like, you don't know how.
They're only going in there when they need to.
Yeah, exactly. But that was an interesting bed and that's the part where I was starting to get baffled because, you know, and maybe baffled's not the right word, like trying to figure it out. I guess maybe mm-hmm. it was a better way to put it. Because we're finding this sign sporadically. We're finding where clearly does are living. You would think there would be a rut sign there. There's nothing.
No. And I mean, we only found five rubs and four scrapes at that point.
Yeah. And then we make our way through these cuts and we actually start to hit, you know, we come out of, you know, the cuts where we start to find those concentrations of rubs along that,
yep.
that defined trail where we think, you know, that we jumped that deer.
Yeah.
And then when we found that bed, it was like this series of rubs through like the most open timber.
Yeah. On those little hemlocks or whatever they were.
Yeah. Like to where you would never, I at least would never, like the only reason we were following that was because it was just,
it was the only thing we could look at.
That. And it was like, we were on the right contour line to kind of wrap around the point of that right. next kind of ridge system that we
yep.
were going to hit to go over to the,
yep.
over toward that back corner,
yeah.
you know, where the private land line private was, line, you know? Yeah. And while we were following that contour line, it was like, hey, there's a rub.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't like they were another. Like one after yeah. another.
No, every 50, 75 yards, maybe
100, maybe whatever it was. And you'd be like, oh, hey, there's another one.
Yeah.
You know, and it looked like it was all made by the same deer.
Yeah.
And then we ended up, it was like, oh, hey, look at this. There's a bed like down to the dirt. But you're like, when you, I looked at the map.
Yeah.
I'm like, why is, like, what is over here? What is he going to? Like, it, and it was just the weirdest thing. Cause
right,
I would have never thought that you would find a buck bedded in that spot.
Right.
Or that he would be traveling that rub line
right
to that bed.
And what else is odd about it, it's like, we were talking about this too earlier today, is there's no, even on the private land, there's no ag.
Nothing.
Like, the closest ag to any of the borders of those game lands is 25 miles probably. Like, you just don't, like you said, there's some openings, but they're really all people's yards or, you know, giant yards of grass, nothing.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's not like they're even tremendously close to where we were finding the sign anyway. It's like there's still, you know,
miles and miles.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a hike to get there. Not saying that a deer won't make that hike, but
yeah,
it's,
I mean, they could do it quick and all that in the open stuff that we were finding.
But. Right. Right. But in between there, it's like, you know, he could just jump into that cut, get some brambles and some browse, or hit that oak, those oaks. Cause there's those oak tree, there's oak forests here. When you get into those, you know, I don't even call them flats because they're not flats. They're just oak forests that had been planted however freaking long ago.
Yeah.
And acorns, I was still finding acorns that they could eat now that aren't rotted.
Yeah, we picked a few up and checked them out.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's like, they don't have to go.
Yeah. And most of it's red oak too, so it's a perfect time for them to eat it now, you know.
Yeah. White oaks were definitely harder to come by.
Yeah, not as many.
Tons of reds, you know, and... I mean, they'll eat reds as after the whites are gone.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, there was still a pile of them. And so like, they don't need to go to a crop field or whatever. I don't think.
No, they have plenty.
But was definitely getting a little confused by like where, you know, the beds, the buck beds were showing up and stuff like that, you know? So we ended up making our way through that and, again, a little confused, right? We were like, well, let's head over to this other section. That oak forest and that section over by the private was a bust, you know? Yeah. I mean, I'm glad we made the walk over there to see what it was.
We always would have wondered, but there was nothing. I mean, we got up on that rocky point or whatever that was. I mean, there's all these giant boulders everywhere, and there was that rocky point. We got up on that and glassed down there, and you could really see the whole thing without...
Yeah.
And you could see 500 yards almost in there, probably.
Easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was... Not a, it's some of the most open timber I probably ever had walked through, you know what I mean? Like it was like we could have played catch in there with a baseball.
We could have,
yeah. Yeah. It was that open. That point, I think we stopped and grabbed a little bit of lunch, took a break. And then the plan at that point was we wanted to backtrack to that bed and then walk that cut, because that cut that bed was on the bottom of was the cut that we jumped into after we came through the saddle.
Yeah.
And we wanted to check that out. And then the cool thing, like that thing was so grown over and thick, like we couldn't walk through it. But when we looked on the map, we could see that there were a couple, like whether, the, you know, some of them, like there were three old logging roads that were in.
Yeah.
That were really grown
like
over.
An old rake or something that you could just walk. We picked one to.
Yeah. Cause most of them were completely grown over. This one you could get through.
Yeah.
So, and you know, when you looked on the map, it's like it was really the only place to walk. And so that was another one of those places where it's like,
where's the scrapes?
Yeah. They can't walk through any of the brush, yeah. Right? Cause it's so dense.
Well, and there was a lot of like, there was a lot of down trees in that part too.
Yeah. True. Yeah. That's right. You know, so we thought, you know, I don't know if you did or not, but like I thought when we were walking through that, I was like, oh man, that buck was totally bedded down below here.
Right.
Like, this one lone kind of like brushy logging road that has like clearly like there's a deer trail at the beginning of it, like walking through, right? This feels,
definitely. I mean, there was tracks on it too.
Yeah. It's like, this feels like a place that we're going to run into like a bunch of scrapes and like a couple licking branches and like an area that's just like torn up with rubs.
Yep.
Like feels like this is the spot, right? Yep. Nothing. Some old rubs, and like there were some decent old rubs in there.
A lot of decent old rubs.
But just nothing. Nothing. And that cut was too old, like, to be honest, right? Like that, as far as like for food or anything like that, it wasn't.
Bedding around the edges and using it as cover, but maybe not not food wise.
Yeah.
The canopy was like too high, like, you know, all the new growth was too high up the trees for that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so we ended up just kind of hoofing it through that and making it through there. And then at that point, I think we had made the decision where we wanted to go back to that second cut that we were in.
Yep.
Because there was actually a logging road, like an old, I say a log, it's not a logging road, it's an old two track that's all completely grown over. So
right.
The only reason you even knew or you recognized that it was a logging road of any type is because there's two ditches on each side.
Side by side.
Yeah. That it's clear that like they were using skidders or whatever, like to drag stuff out. Yeah. So, you know, it's all grown over. But it was clear that deer were using it, like the one side of it, because it was semi-open to be able to walk through. And yep. So we were like, let's walk back through that, get back over to that other end of the cut.
Yep.
And then from there, we will make a decision what we're going to do the rest of the day.
Yep. Right?
And I don't think we found anything worth mention. Other, I mean, we found more of the same. We found more scat, more doe beds. Like
another shed.
Oh yeah, you did find a shed. That's right. Yeah, you found it. This one was
it's a booner.
Oh dude, it's the biggest spike you've ever seen.
Number one, baby.
Number one. Yeah, I don't even know how you saw it, man. Like, it's ridiculous. But so we found that. You found that shed, and then we kind of took a pause for a minute and just kind of, you know, the choices were this was either walk back through that cut again on a different. In a different area, you know, and cover more of that cut and then head over to the cut that was across the saddle.
Yeah.
And look at that, which we knew kind of in our head, like it was going to look like what we had just walked through and that second cut in general.
Right.
Or we could leave and there were a couple places you and I marked that weren't too far away that we could go check out. That was like an old oak forest. Right. Yep. And so it was like, you know, so we made the choice to like, all right, well, we're already kind of like close to like how we're going to get out of here. So let's just go ahead and like save ourselves the time. Let's get out of here.
Yeah.
We saw what we needed to see here. There's a couple places where we could potentially come back and set up some cameras if we're so inclined.
Yeah. And I honestly think that was the best decision to make because, I mean, it's just like fishing, right? Like you're in a lake, you're going to, you find like maybe the bass today are hanging on old like deadfalls into the lake or they're hanging on the edges of coontail or something like that. But when you find them, they're always there. You find a pattern, you work with it.
Right.
I mean, these clear cuts are going to have the same vegetation. They had the same pattern of trails. You know, they had trails that went across and a trail that went around. Yeah. Really the same kind of food, same concept. So really it was a good decision to just pull out and check that out another time.
Yeah. The only thing would have been if we would have found some type of sign over there that would have been like blown our mind.
Yeah.
But what we had seen to that point suggested, I think at this point, this is when we both realized it's like, I would love to talk to someone who has hunted this area like previously to get a sense. Because this is when, you know, we started kind of realizing like, hey, like, we just may not find big sign.
Yeah.
Like what we might be finding might be what it is.
Well, we talked about like, oh, well maybe, you know, like you said, maybe they're not competing for territory. So maybe their testosterone levels don't get as good as they are.
Right. Or any other time. They just don't have to like
all that aggression and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. They just don't have the same competition, which would make sense because, you know, hunting some other big woods places that I've hunted, it's like I've had a similar thing where it's like you just didn't find a lot of scrapes. You'd find a few here and there, and like, you know, once in a while you would find like a scrape area, you know, and that was like the holy grail. But it's like this one particular area myself and a buddy have spent, you know, him particularly spent a ton of time in, and he's only ever found one of those,
right,
you know, in like 5, 6, 7 years or something like that, you know. And some of the rubs, it's like in this place, there's really big deer, like hammers, you know, and you'll find rubs that are on small ass trees.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you just don't find like, I personally haven't like gigantic rubs. And that was what was happening here. And it was like, there were like decent rubs, but nothing big. And there weren't like crazy amounts of scrapes. You'd find one every so often in like what seemed to be really odd spots, really odd places.
We found maybe 5 scrapes total,
4
scrapes total. And I don't think any of them were in a spot where we were like, oh, there should be a scrape there.
Not at all. Like actually
it'd be the opposite.
Yeah.
It would be if someone said, hey man, you're going to find a scrape there. I'd be like, dude, what's this joker talking about?
Yeah.
You know, I would clearly think they don't know what they're talking about.
No.
Yeah. You know, but they showed up in the oddest places. So anyway, the plan then was to kind of book it out of here and head over to, this other oak kind of forest. We drove over there.
Yeah.
We made quick work of that. We walked in, we could tell that it was just another big, mature oak timber, yeah, hardwoods.
There was nothing that we were interested in down there.
Yeah. It was trying to scout that. It wasn't really any like significant topography that was going to like move deer in any direction. It was just, it was a needle in a haystack.
Yeah. And the topography is tough here. Cause it's like you said, it's not, there's no like steep edge where they have to travel along the edge, and everything's kind of like, they kind of seem like they go through it willy nilly. Cause it's just a long, I wouldn't say it's gradual hill, cause there's some like steep spots, but there's nothing that like drops off and makes them walk along an edge somewhere.
Yeah, no. Yeah, exactly. Like you'll get into some places where it's like, you know, the way you kind of referred to it, like made sense, like where it's like, there's some like subtle rolling topography in places, but it's not enough to like,
everything just has folds and.
Right. It would be different if like potholes. That subtle topography roll was coupled with like change in habitat or whatever, to where it's like, it's so maybe the topography was really subtle, but the change in habitat made it seem more severe.
Yeah.
And so they have to make this move or whatever, but you weren't getting that. It's like where you were getting like the hard edges, there wasn't any topography. So like the second cut's a great example. You get that hard edge of like cut to hardwood.
Yeah.
There was no change in topo.
Right.
It was just same elevation, same everything. Right.
Yep.
You would get those rolling hills down or rolling kind of topo changes down where we found some of those scrapes, those three scrapes.
Yeah.
But you didn't have any real habitat or anything like that to start to help predict or direct movement because the topography wasn't significant enough to change course.
Correct.
You know, it was just really weird, really interesting, really cool place. Like, you know, it's challenging me to think differently about bow hunting whitetails in this type of setup.
Yeah.
So then at that point, we checked that out. We got out of there, that oak section, and you know, there was an area that I scouted the last time I was here. It was the best spot that I found, and I wanted to show it to you.
Yep.
And I also wanted to hang a camera.
Yep.
And so we got over there, and
before we get to that, though, we did pass something that we need to check when we're here next. Is that that brand new clear cut, I forgot about that.
That is,
I mean, it's huge. It's
giant,
probably 400 acres, I would guess. Because I mean, we drove a mile down that road almost.
It's the whole side of a mountain.
Yeah.
Like legit the whole side of a mountain.
And it's all brand new tops.
Yeah.
That'll be hit hard.
Yeah.
We have to check that out at some point.
Yeah. That's going to be good. It's, I totally can't believe I forgot about that, but that might've been the best find of the trip, to be quite honest. It's like, I don't even know that I would hunt it this year. Cause you know, it looked like it was just cut within the past 12 months.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely. I mean, they haven't even pulled the trees out of it yet, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. It'd be cool if they went in there and, well, I doubt they'll do a burn now. Maybe they will. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. But it'll be a mess to get through there. Cause I mean, there was nothing that they were pulling logs out with yet. So I doubt there's any, you know, logging paths through there or anything like that. So
yeah,
it'll be,
I started thinking that as we were driving back to camp and thinking like, all right, I'm going to have to spend some time on topo and like see, because that's one of those areas where it's a mess.
Yeah.
And it's that country there is steep too.
Yeah. That one was a lot. That was a lot steeper than what we had found over at the first area.
And so, and it's going to be interesting because like the cut is on it's not sheer, but it's like, it's a steep like drop, like side of the ridge.
End of that point, like the first area we found that we drove by, is the end of that point is pretty, that's pretty steep.
Yeah. And so look, I know, you know, in talking to Nathan Keelan, like, you know, he's like, deer use that steep stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, all day, like don't let that deter you. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll look at it and be like, man, there ain't no way a deer can live there or is going to spend time there, but like they certainly will, you know? And so gonna have to do some studying and figure out how to tackle that, you know, because that's gonna be, you know, it's gonna be hard to scout, number one.
Yeah.
And gonna be even harder to hunt.
Yeah.
But all those are the reasons why in the next 2 to 4 years there will likely be a hammer deer.
Yep.
Or a few
inside there
that call that place rut home or home in general.
Yeah, and it seems like stuff pops up here pretty quick as far as like all that red briar that we are finding.
Yeah.
And a lot of the tops of that were eaten. Like, there's definitely eating that stuff.
Oh, yeah. And when that was the other thing, too, is like as we were going through these cuts, it's like, you know, the part of the frustration, it wasn't like we were mad, but like it was more like trying to figure it out.
We were a little frustrated without finding a rub in the first two cuts.
Like, yeah, we were. Yeah.
Like, there should be one on that tree.
Yeah, yeah. You know, how many times did we say that? But I think what the frustrating part was that, you know, yeah, you could say you found doe beds, you found like scat and stuff like that. And that doesn't always mean like they're spending a ton of time. They might be spending a ton of time in there at a specific time and then like yeah. they're gone, right?
Right.
But the amount that we were finding in there suggests it's like, it's not like they're just hanging out in there in like October, November.
No.
Like they're spending a ton yeah. of time in there
yep.
all year round.
Yeah.
Right. And when we were walking through, like everything was nipped off.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like everything was browsed.
Yeah.
You know, and there was still plenty of browsing there. So it wasn't like it plenty. Was gone.
Yeah.
And that was the part that was frustrating. It was that like, there's cover, there's food. They're clearly here eating it.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, so why aren't we seeing, you know, the sign that should be here, yeah. you know? So anyway, we saw that cut as we were driving yep. by, and that was like, super yeah, stoked we stopped at that to point.
Look at that for a little bit.
Yeah. And then at that point, we were trucking over to the place that I scouted the previous time that I was here.
Yeah.
And I wanted to show that to you, and I wanted to hang a trail camera. So we got over there, just kind of dove in and quickly kind of beelined it to that area, because that was really where the good stuff kind of started. And it's really kind of interesting because yeah. it's a big swampy bottom.
Yep.
It's close to a parking lot, so that's not probably really in play for a hunt, but like... Yeah. What did you think of all the stuff that was behind it?
Oh, it was beautiful. I mean, the cool thing about that area is, again, it's like a lot of just rolling. Like if it was at the beach, it'd be sand dunes, like, you right. know, like a lot of like, and turns everywhere, little hills everywhere. And the undergrowth in there is incredible. Mm-hmm. But, and at some point we both were like, oh, have they logged this? And yeah, they have at some point, because mm-hmm. there's just logging roads everywhere, and everything is, you know, the growth in there, a lot of hickory, a lot of the red briar, and it's beautiful because it's a perfect place, because you still have, it still felt like woods, you know, mm-hmm. it still felt like timber, because it wasn't clear cut.
It wasn't barren.
Right. It was yeah. like select cut maybe or yeah. something like that. But it would be a really good opportunity because you could glass the entire woods, but it wasn't, you know, just like the stuff that we walked through. If it hadn't been select cut, it would just be that mature
yeah.
canopy that we saw. But this was kind of unique because you could glass it like it was open timber like that. But it was kind of like that low underbrush clear cut that would definitely conceal a deer. I mean,
it was
incredible cover.
It was a 6 foot world in there.
Yeah.
Where it's like most everything was like our head height and below.
Yep.
With a few trees here and there
yep.
that were huntable trees, you yep. know, or it was an oak that was there to do some reseeding or yep. whatever the case was. But it's the one place I found the last time that I was here that had like some topography that was usable.
Yeah.
Right. Cause before we were finding some top topography, like you were saying just a few minutes ago, that it was rolling and like, it wasn't enough to make them make moves. This was enough to make them
oh, yeah.
make them make moves. Cause
oh, yeah.
where we set the camera, it was kind of like this swampy bog and, you know, a bunch of brush and just stuff off to the side.
Yep.
And as you kind of walk back toward this other swamp, there's a pond back there.
Yep.
And it kind of starts to narrow down. And as yep. it narrows down, you can clearly see where deer are having to walk. And that's what I noticed the last time I was here. And there was still a little bit of snow on the ground. So I yeah. can clearly see the tracks, like where right. they were walking.
Yeah.
And so we hung a camera.
There was
there.
A lot more tracks in that area too. I thought.
And then there was a rub in there, a decent rub that I'd found the last time yeah. that I was here. And so we went and set that camera up. But the topography, that ridge is, it's not huge. you know, by any stretch of the imagination, but it's just enough.
Like it's enough to conceal silhouettes and
yeah, it's just enough to like also to predict movement.
Yeah.
You know, and then like, you know, like Aaron said, there was a few different logging roads that were up through there and stuff like that. And so we ended up walking, you know, up through a couple of those and checking out like the top of that ridge and just kind of
find that random food plot.
Just in the middle of nowhere. Like there's a food plot that's up there, you know? Cause I hadn't been on that top when I was there previously. I went on the log, I followed the logging road out to that other set of cuts that was on the other side of that bog.
Yeah.
And I walked all those. I found some rubs and stuff like that, but it was very consistent with what we were seeing today in general. It was all, you know, smaller stuff.
Yep.
It was all, you know, smaller rubs. You would find like a cluster of them here and there, you know, but there was nothing that was like, oh, that's a big sign. And I did not find a single scrape in any of them.
Nope.
You know, and then we didn't find one in that section either.
We didn't find a scrape in there at all.
No, which was surprising to me. Like,
I mean, it would be, not even, well, what's weird is even in that, so that little food plot was what we say probably ryegrass looked like it was grown around the edges
and
of
I thought for sure when you said, hey, there's a food plot up here, you know, you yelled over and I was like, oh, I was like, I bet you there's a scrape along,
there's gotta
at least
be like,
one,
you know,
along the
they
edge.
Hit the edges of it. Yeah. And there was plenty of places for licking branches hanging over it. Like, you know, nothing.
Nada.
Nothing. You know, there was that one dejected rub though, right at the...
Oh yeah, geez.
When you come into the parking lot there.
Yeah, good lord. Yeah.
That was shredded.
Yeah, that was literally like the most shredded rub. It's like literally as soon as you pull into the parking lot, right at the corner of it, there is like actually probably one of the best rubs we had seen. And I had seen it the last time I was here. But it was like probably close to chest high, right? And just shredded.
Oh yeah. I mean the bark was hanging off. I mean it was crazy.
It's like nice one. Seriously, it's gonna be at the corner of the parking lot.
Yep.
Awesome.
Signpost.
Man. So anyway, we ended up having to come back and kind of call it a day because I busted up my knee, which was awesome. I don't remember when I did it. I slipped or slid and like caught myself. And when I did that, it twisted or jacked my knee up. And so I was trying to power through and I was doing an okay job and it just finally like locked
up.
You
did just fine.
I'm getting old, man. Getting old. But yeah, so that kind of put a squash on the rest of our day because at that point it was, I don't know, it was like 6 o'clock, maybe 5:30.
Nah, we were both hungry anyway.
Yeah, and hungry, ready to kind of call it a day. So we came back to camp, ate, and you know, and started doing the podcast, having a little nip of whiskey.
Yeah,
you know, hanging out, talking deer. But that was our day for the most part, man. You know, I don't know. What do you think? What are your thoughts on, you know, the future of this place coming back and potentially hunting it?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think we need to pick it apart a little bit more. You know, we didn't hit the southern end of this that much. I mean, we thought maybe that looked like a lot of that pole. It looked like it was an old cut, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it'd be worth a walkthrough probably just to see what is in that direction. Mm-hmm. But definitely getting back out to the area where we hung your camera, I think you could really spend a lot of time in there.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of differences in there. And the cool thing is about that is there was changes in vegetation. It wasn't just like two kinds of vegetation in there. There was a lot of variety in there.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of variety, a lot of browse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and like you said, you know, the scouting by yourself is great. Everything in hunting, you have like something you can do yourself and it means something to you because you get to go out and learn about yourself, learn about the woods you want to hunt and that kind of thing. But doing it with a friend is the perfect way to do it. And we, you know, taking our lunch break today, we had a good time. I mean, we were sitting here sipping coffee for.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the cool thing, man. It's like, you know, it's, you know, look, you know, Aaron, myself like to get after it as much as anybody, but I think some of these trips, what I'm starting to appreciate just as much is like the time of like, the unwind.
Yep.
You know, and just the conversation.
Yeah.
You know, and that was what was cool. And that was really kind of one of the reasons why I built the little travel camper because do this kind of stuff. Cause it was awesome being able to come back here and just sit down and have a mid-afternoon coffee and some lunch and sit for like 45 minutes and just chat, you know,
it was cool. Cause you have the time to, I mean, we, swapped stories and also bounced ideas off each other for what we got to check out here
today. Yeah, and then start making a game plan for where we're, yeah, you know, where and what we were going to do, what we were going to do next.
On the Exxon thing.
On the Exxon thing. Working really well today. Yeah, Exxon thing wasn't working so great today. So I think for me, man, you know, I'm really intrigued by this place. You know, it's, I want to figure out, I want to put out some cameras, some additional cameras, and I want to probably just let them soak for a year.
Yeah.
And I want to see if some of the areas where we had found, you know, some smaller sign or just the typical sign we were finding.
Yeah. Is that big sign for here?
Are there decent deer that's doing that, that are in the area of that sign, right? They may or may not be making that sign, but are they in the area?
Yeah.
You know? So that's the one thing that I want to figure out. And that doesn't mean like only what we've scouted so far. It's like, I definitely want to come back and check out some other stuff. We've marked some other stuff.
Yep.
This place is so big. There's other places like on the other side of the piece.
We haven't even touched.
Yeah. I want to get to that new clear cut. I want to check that out at some point. And I don't know if that's going to be a this year thing or if it'll end up being like a next winter thing or maybe, you know, even like late season type of hunt it, you know, to be and just hunt / scout it. There's some stuff that looks decent that's on the other, complete other side that's, you know, almost like an hour drive from here potentially.
We were both looking at some of that this afternoon.
So there's all kinds of opportunity here that just really, you know, really intrigues me. And today, at least the way I classify today, like I classify it as a win in my book because we got some proof of life. We started finding some sign. We started finding some of the right habitat. Now it's just figuring out what all that stuff means in relationship to here.
Yeah.
You know, because you can't think of the sign in new places where you go, even if it's in the same state, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You have to think of it in context of like the habitat and what the deer are doing there, you know, and how they act in that area.
We could drive to the opposite side of this and it could be a world different.
Yeah.
Cause it is, it's probably an hour, hour and a half away. Mm-hmm. I mean, we drove to the middle of this and it was 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of opportunity.
Yeah. So cool, man. Well, with that, I think we can go ahead and shut this shit show down. And, I think I might have one more little nip of whiskey.
And call it a night.
And
maybe get to hang a camera tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, it's supposed to rain. So we're hoping, fingers crossed, that we at least get a little break in the morning where we can get out and maybe get a camera or two hung before
we can boogie on down there.
Yeah. Before we get doused. But thanks for coming out, man. I appreciate you. Appreciate you coming out and hanging out.
It's been fun, buddy. Thank you.
Yeah. Road dog.
Road dog.
All right, folks, that is a wrap for today's show. I'd like to thank all of you for listening. And if you haven't yet, please head over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating. And hell, while you're at it, head over to YouTube and give us a sub there, too. I'd be super appreciative if you'd be able to do those two things for me. And before I shut this thing down, I need to give a big shout out to our partners who continue to help us make this podcast possible. Tethered, Exodus Outdoor Gear, Skull Brew Coffee Company, and Maven Optics. And until next time, we'll see y'all. All right, gang, the new Truth merch is in stock at truthfromthestand.com and on YouTube below any of the Truth from the Stand videos. I've got some new hats, beanies, t-shirts, long sleeve t-shirts, and sweatshirts. There's even a new do hard shit hat for those of us who like to embrace microdosing adversity. So head to truthfromthestand.com and check out the new gear and use the code TRUTH, T-R-U-T-H, and save yourself some cash on the new gear.